Texas, America, the world. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest for today, Thursday the 12th of April, is going to be John Hrankowski. He's going to join us at 8 o'clock. John is yet another one of the people who survived Israel's attack on the USS Liberty on June the 8th, 1967. He is someone that Gary Brummett of the USS Liberty has recommended to me as yet another source that we should have on this show as we continue to examine the events of that day 40 years ago and their implications for the American public today in regard to who and what it is that continues to control the foreign policy of the United States. So John Hrankowski will join us at 8 a.m. Central Standard Time, or Central Time, I should say, and that should be a very, very interesting conversation for a couple of hours. Things obviously are not going well in the Middle East, that goes without saying. CNN.com has a lead story this morning entitled "Explosion Rocks Iraqi Parliament Building." Al-Qaeda claims Algeria attacks, 33 killed, according to USAtoday.com. John McCain calls the war necessary and just in a speech that was made yesterday to a series of military cadets. He says that the Democrats are reckless. A couple of other items today that kind of dovetail with these stories. Winslow T. Wheeler has a post today entitled, "When Will the War Money Really Run Out?" Jim Loeb of IPS has a post as well entitled, "Breaking the Army." And then Gary Camilla adds something to that at Salon, which is repristinated at antiwar.com, entitled, "Iraq, Why the Media Failed." Another interesting story is what the New York Times posted up today. And Iran Focus runs a link to it entitled, "U.S. Suspects That Iran Aids Both Sunni and Shiite Militias." I must say, folks, in regard to the way things work in the Middle East, this notion that has been put forth in the New York Times that the United States suspects that Iran is aiding Sunni militias is a fairly suspicious concept and one that we need to take a closer look at through the morning before our guest comes on at 8 o'clock. Ted Pike has a post of the National Prayer Network entitled, "Oregonians, We Can Still Defeat SB2. Ted says that as a result of an avalanche of protest against Oregon's homosexual rights bill, SB2, the House vote on this bill has been delayed until next Tuesday, April 17th. This gives many more concerned Oregonians an opportunity to protest to the House member from your district. If you live in Oregon, call Salem at 1-800-332-2313 and leave this message with your representative. Quote, please do not vote for SB2. It is I, not homosexuals, who have a right to determine who occupies my business, my real estate, and my church organization." Unquote. Ted Pike goes on to tell us that Restore America, which you can find at www.stopthebilloregon.com, is doing an outstanding job of organizing resistance to SB2 in Oregon. Also visit Ted's site, www.truthtellers.org, and read his new article entitled "The Mounting Threat of State Hate Laws" for more information. Again, that's a call from Ted Pike of the National Prayer Network to people in the state of Oregon to oppose homosexual rights bill SB2. The House vote on this bill has been delayed until next Tuesday, April 17th. This gives more concerned Oregonians an opportunity to protest this situation to their individual House members. Ted Pike, of course, raises a question that goes well beyond the whole issue of homosexuality, biblically and culturally and politically. He talks about this in terms of basic American rights. Do we have the right to determine for ourselves who occupies our businesses, our real estate, and our church organizations? Not according to some of the Stalinists in both state and federal government who want to bring certain political and cultural attitudes to your door, whether you like it or not. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio on RBN. Stay tuned.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Back. This is Mark Hancock's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. John Rankowski will join us at 8 o'clock this morning Central Time. John is yet another one of the crew members of the USS Liberty that we would like to talk to at Mark Hancock's America on RBN, because he is adding to what Gary Brummett and what Phil Turney and Commander Dave Lewis have already shared with us about their experiences on that day 40 years ago. And what we're talking about, of course, with John today dovetails quite nicely with the fact that Mark Glenn's first piece on this subject for the American Free Press has come out in the April 9th edition of that newspaper. On the front page, USS Liberty bombshell, retired U.S. naval advocate admits he was ordered to whitewash the Israeli murder of 34 sailors. Mark Glenn, of course, spoke with Captain Ward Boston, the senior legal counsel for the military inquiry which investigated Israel's June 8, 1967 attack on the USS Liberty. Read what this high-ranking naval officer has to say firsthand about the government's whitewashing of Israel's era naval attack, which resulted in the death and wounding of over 200 American sailors. That's in the April 9th edition of the American Free Press. That is the first of a series of articles that Mark Glenn of AFP and Crescent and Cross is going to be coming forth with in regard to this whole issue of the USS Liberty. Mark Glenn is going to join me again tomorrow for 2 hours from 8 to 10 a.m. Central Time. We're going to be discussing not simply the USS Liberty, but a lot of other stories that have a great deal to do with your situation and mine in the days ahead as we continue to watch all of the things that are happening in this country, both internationally as well as domestically and culturally. You know, what's interesting, it's really hard to figure out what is a greater threat to our liberty, what is going on internationally or what's happening domestically. Certainly when you look at the role of the Israeli lobby in getting us into the war in Iraq, and you look at all of these related stories that suggest that catastrophe continues to unfold, as we mentioned at the first part of the hour, we've had an explosion today that rocks the Iraqi parliament building. There has been an explosion in a bridge that was built there by the British in 1946 in Baghdad that has also caused numerous casualties. We're now seeing USA Today running a very serious story that indicates that Al-Qaeda is claiming that they're behind these Algeria attacks that killed 33 people. A series of stories we might take a look at before the next hour in regard to what is happening to our own military, in regard to the increasing costs of this war. And yet it would appear that the actual readiness of the American military and the morale of our force structure is down, way down. We may talk here in the next 45 minutes or so about some of those posts. And then we get back to this cultural and political issue again that I think is really encapsulated by what Ted Pike is talking about today at the National Prayer Network, indicating that once again, Oregon has a so-called homosexual rights bill, SB2. The House vote on this bill has been delayed until next Tuesday, April 17th. Obviously, most of us would not vote for this bill who listen to this network, but it's not simply a question of whatever moral and religious views we may have on the subject of homosexuality. There is, for purposes of this conversation this morning, an even more pertinent issue and point to be made, and that is that people in this country who own businesses, who own real estate, and who belong to legitimately constituted church organizations ought to have the right to determine for themselves what groups of people and what individuals they associate with. This gets back to certain fundamental rights that should be self-evident to all of us as Americans that involve freedom of association. Freedom of association. If I choose not to associate with people of a certain sexual orientation, that should be my right as an American to do that in regard to my own business, my own real estate, if I own real estate, and certainly my own church organization. The notion that the state governments or the federal government of this country should have the right to come in and to say, hey, you have to do business with these people. We are going to force you against your will to associate with them, to hire them. We are going to force your churches to revise their positions on this subject, because this is the new state dogma, not simply that this lifestyle is going to be promulgated and accepted, whether you like it or not, but it is the state and not our individual moral decisions and not the decisions of our religious traditions over the course of hundreds and thousands of years that is going to ultimately carry the day in regard to what the statists of this country believe should happen. Keep an eye on this thing in Oregon, both in terms of SB2, as well as other things happening nationally that suggest that not all is well with the Republic, not simply morally, but the way in which the federal government and the individual states who potentially see themselves more than ever, illegitimately as extensions of the federal government, are trying to tell you and me what our social and political and cultural and religious attitudes are supposed to be. It's time that we tell these people to drop dead, it seems to me. And this pertains not simply to the cultural and moral issues related to the homosexual circumstance, but a whole host of other things where we have allowed government, federal government and state government, to attempt to encroach upon certain fundamental liberties that are not the right of the state to either give or to take away. These fundamental liberties come from God. These fundamental liberties have been ensconced in our Constitution. It's time that these politically correct morons, if I might use that unfortunate phrase this morning in term, simply go away. Howard Phillips has some interesting things to say in his latest Issues and Strategy Bulletin on this whole subject of homosexuality. I'm going to turn to that in a minute and read something that Elaine Donnelly has prepared at the Washington Times. It goes back to the 18th of March. She, of course, is the head of something called the Center for Military Readiness. Before I get into that conversation, I was just going to say on the air that I'm wondering how many people saw yesterday Mr. Simcox's appearance on behalf of the Minutemen that took place at the University of Texas in San Antonio. I caught just a little bit of this on the news last night after I returned from a class at church, and it was quite interesting to see Chris Simcox of the Minutemen, who had been brought to the campus lawfully by a legitimate campus organization to present his views and presumably those of the Minutemen in regard to this whole issue of illegal immigration. Simcox was met by a mob of people, presumably a high number of students and potentially provocateurs on the campus, who began to yell at him and to attempt to drown him out and to try and deny Mr. Simcox his First Amendment rights. He had come there peaceably and legitimately. He had been invited legitimately by a campus organization to discuss these matters. Suddenly he finds himself facing a group of people who do not represent free speech in this country. We've seen this time and again from these left-wing individuals and left-wing groups, folks. It's absolutely frightening when we look at an institution of higher education and higher learning, which is ostensibly what the University of Texas San Antonio represents, would be party to a circumstance where the conduct of these alleged students would be tolerated and would end up on the news last night in San Antonio as an indication of a coming cultural and political divide, not simply on the issue of illegal immigration, but on the issue of civility, the issue of decorum, and the issue of how we conduct ourselves in a legitimate society when it comes to matters of free speech and the free and decent and civil exchange of ideas and the whole business of ongoing debate. I found that what happened to Mr. Simcox yesterday at the University of Texas San Antonio to be absolutely frightening. The behavior of these so-called students was absolutely simian, and it seems to me that whether we're looking at the University of Texas San Antonio or the University of Wisconsin-Madison or Yale or Harvard or any of these other institutions where so many of these politically correct leftists tend to reside, that there is a commitment on their part not simply to what I believe to be the wrong ideas in most cases, but they are opposed to any rational civil discussion and debate on these ideas. When you're talking about that being removed from the university setting, we are talking about a situation in the United States, it seems to me, where these politically correct brown shirts on the left want to ensure that they can use intimidation and mass media hysteria to gain what they should not be allowed to gain, either politically or culturally in this country. And certainly if it comes down to an issue of free speech and open debate, these people have neither the command of the English language or the command of rational thought or the command of the constitutional traditions of this country in the last 200 years to have a semblance of an idea as to how to convey their ideas or how to conduct themselves. And it seems to me that what happened yesterday at the University of Texas San Antonio is but further evidence of the absolute cancer that exists in our so-called institutions of higher education, which have become legions of Stalinism, it seems to me, in my lifetime, where whether you are talking about the Israeli lobby or homosexuals or abortion or taxes or multiculturalism or any of the other things that could be brought up on an individual or collective basis, these folks are interested not in free speech, not in rational civil debate, not in a mutual gathering of the minds to really examine the data. They are interested in bringing forth into this country the destruction of the constitutional traditions of the United States. They want to destroy historically what has been the culture of this country. And they're doing a very nice and very effective job of it, it seems to me. And for those of you out there who have not been that acquainted with what is going on in higher education in our land in recent decades, what's happening there today is going to determine your political and cultural future tomorrow, which I find to be a highly, highly frightening concept. This is Mark Gafgoss, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Gold, ever climbing, as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898. It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network at 8 o'clock this morning, Central Time. John Rankowski is going to join us. John hails from Rochester, New York. He was a member of the USS Liberty crew on June the 8th, 1967. We're going to continue examining that subject. And we've had Gary Brummett on the show. We've had Commander Dave Lewis. We've had Phil Turney. And now John Rankowski will be on as the fourth person to talk about his own personal perspective on the events of 40 years ago, as well as what it continues to mean for us today. And I think when I post news of this particular appearance at Breaking All the Rules News and later at the RBN Archive, I will once again make reference to Eric Margolis' article on this subject in May of 2001 that was printed in the Toronto Sun. You can also find information on this USS Liberty attack through a very, very fine and sobering article written by James Ennis, who was a part of the USS Liberty crew, of course, 40 years ago. You can find that at the Washington Report for Middle East Affairs. It goes back to June of 1993 when James Ennis's piece at that time was entitled "The Assault on the USS Liberty Still Covered Up After 26 Years." We can now add 14 years to that and say that it's been covered up for 40 years, and we are still looking for the answers. And this is why I'm pressing ahead on this subject in regard to occasional examinations of this USS Liberty case at Mark Gantkoff's America with the Republic Broadcasting Network. And, of course, Mark Glenn is really pressing ahead with this with a series for the American Free Press, the first of which talks about Mark's conversations with Captain Ward Boston. And I hasten to add that for those of you who do not get the American Free Press, you really need to subscribe to it, because you will find things in there that are virtually reproduced nowhere else. The other thing that comes to mind, of course, is that Mark Glenn and Captain Ward Boston were guests not too long ago on Dr. Hesham Talawi's show at currentissues.tv. If you get to currentissues.tv, Dr. Hesham Talawi's online television show, you can find information on that Mark Glenn Ward Boston appearance with Hesham, and that will be well worth your time. I sent that information out on that television show to a number of the USS Liberty survivors, urging that they look at it, because it does bring back many of the same issues that they have been talking about for lo these many years. And again, we will continue to hit this story, not simply because of the outrage that was committed many years ago that affected the lives of these men who were a part of that vessel 40 years ago this coming June, but also because the cover-up of that situation that continues to the present continues to say volumes about who and what it is that controls the foreign policy of the United States. You know, yesterday I had a very, very fine guest on this show, and if you had an opportunity to listen to that show, you will recognize, of course, that Terry Arnold is an amazing guy. He, of course, was a director of the International Studies Department for the National War College for quite some period of time. He is a regular contributor to Jeff Rentz's site, Rentz.com. One thing Terry did say yesterday, however, that certainly is his right to say, and I think he would try to defend it very well and would defend it very well, but I do disagree with it, and it is the notion that the oil consortiums are a more powerful force in Middle Eastern policy for the United States than the Israeli lobby. I would agree with Dr. Steven Snigosky of The Last Ditch on that particular point. The Israeli lobby drives everything, it seems to me, in regard to Middle Eastern policy when it comes to the United States. And the oil lobby, the fossil fuels energy consortiums, certainly have a role to play as a political player in all of this. But I think when it comes to the ultimate powers that be in determining foreign policy in the Middle Eastern region, as well as so many other things that affect your life and mine, we turn to the Israeli lobby, I think, is the grid through which we can perceive all of the major events of the day. That gets back full circle then to what we talked about on Tuesday with Tex Mars. Tex was on to discuss the book The Synagogue of Satan, written by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock. Get a copy of that book. I would strongly urge you to do so. You can do that through River Crest Publishing of Austin. And I have now finished the book, and we'll plan on reviewing it and rereading some of it for my own benefit, because there's a lot of data in it. But I think the most valuable thing that Andrew Carrington Hitchcock gives us in regard to this book, The Synagogue of Satan, which discusses the so-called secret history of Jewish world domination, is that, in fact, what you have is a thesis that Hitchcock comes forth with. And that thesis is actually developed very nicely by Tex Mars in the foreword to this book. And then the thesis is corroborated by a historical timeline which begins in 740 A.D. That was in the 8th century, folks. That was 13 centuries ago, a long time ago. But in the discussion that Andrew Carrington Hitchcock brings forth in the book in regard to Khazaria and to the actual racial lineage of the Ashkenazic Jews of today, from that time on forward to the present, we see the ongoing manifestations of the synagogue of Satan and the secret history of Jewish world domination, which I think is historically the grid, scripturally and otherwise, through which we can understand the events of our present time. This is Mark Gantkoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio on RBN. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know. To combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Across America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. John Rankowski will join us at right around 8 o'clock this morning, Central Time. John is yet another one of these USS Liberty survivors that I think we need to talk to in regard to what he saw 40 years ago, in regard to what it has meant in his life in the 40 years since that fateful day, and also to talk about the implications of the USS Liberty as they continue to exist in regard to providing us a window of insight into the microcosmic case of the USS Liberty, which in turn relates to the macrocosmic case of the Jewish-Israeli control of the foreign policy of this country and their control of the domestic scene in the United States in regard to culture. That is something that I think needs to be broken through time. Broken through free expression, broken through legitimate political activism, broken through ongoing resort to a public proclamation of the type that Mark Glenn has going at the American Free Press. If you get a copy of that and look at the April 9th edition on the front page, he has a USS Liberty bombshell report on his conversation with Captain Ward Boston, who was the chief legal counsel, as I understand it, to the U.S. Navy's official board of inquiry into that tragedy. And when you look at what Mr. Boston or Captain Boston has to say all these years later, he was basically ordered to cover it up, folks. And this is something that comes forth in his online television conversation, both with Mark Glenn and with Hesham Talawi, which you can find at currentissues.tv. So if you get over to Dr. Talawi's site sometime, you can see after the fact his conversation and that of Mark Glenn with Captain Ward Boston. It is a very, very sobering thing to listen to this. And to follow up with Mark Glenn's latest story with the American Free Press on this subject, we'll get into this a little bit, I'm sure, with John Rankowski this morning as well. Getting back then to this whole business of culture and theology and issues both domestic and foreign, I had a very, very fascinating experience last night. I was at a class in a Lutheran church in the south end of San Antonio, and in this class we happened to be watching a History Channel documentary on the events at Masada. If you're familiar with the story of Masada, of course, there's a lot of difficulty in separating truth from fiction in regard to exactly what happened at Masada in this final fateful encounter between these Jewish defenders of that elevated vantage point and the Roman legions who ultimately overcame the people on the top of Masada. Josephus, in his book The Jewish War, provides us with what is considered to be virtually the only historical account that we have in regard to this whole issue of Masada and what allegedly happened there. But there was an even more interesting take on this as I was watching this film with these parishioners last evening. We discovered something. It hit me first, and then when I mentioned it, everyone else said, yeah, you're right. And that's this. During this entire discussion of Masada, the History Channel paraded forth a series of Jewish scholars to discuss Masada. That's not necessarily an illegitimate thing, but there was one element missing from any conversation on that subject as it relates to that documentary, and it is as follows. Take a look sometime at Luke chapter 19, verses 41 through 44. Why is that important? If you go to Luke chapter 19, verses 41 through 44, you will discover that there is a specific prophecy issued there by Jesus Christ in the context of his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Jesus indicates in Luke chapter 19, verses 41 through 44, that there is a coming judgment upon Jerusalem, a coming judgment upon Judah. What he is clearly referring to there as you read through those verses is that as a result of the Jewish rejection of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, there is an impending national judgment which would come upon the Jews 40 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus. That would come in the form of the Roman legions. It would come in terms of the military approach of the Romans in Jerusalem. It would occur in terms of the destruction of the Jewish temple in Jerusalem in A.D. 70, and without a question, the military campaign at Masada that resulted in the destruction of the final Jewish presence there in and on that fortress at the hands of the Romans is all a part of the package of what Jesus Christ is speaking of there. Luke chapter 19, of course, is something that I believe because I happen to be a Christian. And as a Christian, I believe that the Holy Spirit inspired these writings. But even for those who don't have that point of view, it seems rather fascinating that Jesus Christ, such a central figure in all of human history, was not cited in this documentary in regard to this whole question of Masada and any take on Masada. No suggestion on the part of any of these Jewish scholars that there could have been a national judgment brought to bear against Judah on the part of the biblical God for its rejection of Jesus Christ and for a series of other things related to that rejection that were being punished by God. Why do I mention that? Well, it comes up again all these centuries later, doesn't it? If we buy the argumentation made in the New Testament, and certainly the references to the words of Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 19 are but one component of that total package of what the New Testament has to say about Judah and about things Jewish in the last 27 books of the Bible, we certainly then enter a new world when it comes to evaluating the modern Zionist state of Israel. Why is it, for example, that John Hagee of Cornerstone Church in San Antonio and Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson and some of the other usual culprits never talk, to my knowledge, about this whole issue of a national judgment upon the Jews, both in 586 B.C. as well as 70 A.D.? And when you look at the conditions, biblically speaking, that caused those judgments to unravel and to come forth, we see, don't we, that the conditions that are described in regard to Israel and Judah, both in 722 B.C. as well as 586 B.C. and 70 A.D., are largely the same conditions that exist today. We might ask some of these Christian Zionists the following. Number one, are the conditions that resulted in judgment in the Old and the New Testament as it pertains to this nation and this people still with us today? Do they believe in Jesus Christ today? Or are they continuing to be a part of a world system that is fundamentally, according to the authors of Scripture, an anti-Christ system? That's question number one. Question number two would seem to be this. Who and what is the religious underpinning today of modern Judaism? Certainly isn't the New Testament. Many people would say the Old Testament, but when you examine this a little bit more closely, it becomes obvious that it's not the Old Testament, that it is the Babylonian Talmud, it is the Kabbalah that become the ultimate religious yardsticks of contemporary Judaism. And when it comes to the whole question of the Babylonian Talmud, the things that are contained therein, at least in the two unedited versions of that Talmud, as they have been brought forth on this show in the past, are the key to understanding a Jewish worldview as it relates to culture, as it relates to economy, as it relates to the Christian religion, as it relates to its own perceptions of a world system that it desires to control, that are the antithesis of biblical Christianity, and certainly the antithesis of what America Firsters would say is a proper understanding of the Constitution of the United States and the importance of our continuing with that as secular citizens when we examine who and what it is that we're supposed to be supporting as loyal Americans in regard to a Washingtonian, Jeffersonian, Madisonian worldview. All of this is not going to go away, and it seems to me that whether we're looking at the USS Liberty case or we're talking about some of these so-called homosexual rights bills and other things related to that issue that have your business and your real estate interests and your church organizations and your right to freedom of association in those contexts being threatened, this is where it's at, folks, in regard to the real issues of the day. So if the corporate media wants to continue talking about Don Imus, if the corporate media wants to continue talking about Anna Nicole Smith, turn off corporate media, get into the kinds of news sites that are available to you through the American Free Press and the Republic Broadcasting Network, as well as many other fine sites on the Internet that will talk about what the real issues are and who and what is behind those issues and what the real dividing lines are in our society. Mr. Hagee of Cornerstone Church in San Antonio presumably is one of those who does not identify the real dividing lines. I think the scriptures do, however, and I think a proper political analysis of these dividing lines culturally and politically is well worth our time in terms of understanding. And this is where we come full circle once again to Tex Mars' conversation here on this show on Tuesday when we talked about Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's book, The Synagogue of Satan. What is the Bible referring to in Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, and Revelation chapter 3, verse 9? Just taking Revelation 2, verse 9 for a moment and looking at it, where Jesus issues a specific warning to the church at Smyrna, which presumably is, in one sense of the word, also emblematic of the church throughout the ages, the true church, the church that is not rich economically or in terms of political power or worldly influence, but is very rich spiritually. Presumably, the church at Smyrna should be a a special prototype for what the confessing church of Jesus should be throughout the ages? And if it is, why is it that Jesus Christ, in a message to that church issued through the Apostle John, says specifically that the church at Smyrna, and by extension confessing Christian churches around the world throughout the centuries, are to be aware of and beware of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan? In that situation, of course, Tex Mars brought this out on Tuesday. There's no warning there about Buddhists, no warning there about Muslims, no warning there about Hindus on the part of Jesus. Why does he zero in on this concept of the synagogue of Satan? That would be well worth your time to ask your pastor and your elders to examine this question from the pulpit in your individual congregations, and to examine it in terms of your Sunday school literature and the subjects that are studied in your respective congregations. But don't bank on a lot of pastors and a lot of churches being willing to really delve into this, because it's uncomfortable, because it might cause us to have to completely revamp and reanalyze what it is that we believe in this age of deception that has been particularly active, I think, in our country for at least the last four decades or five decades for sure, and undoubtedly longer than that. But we've really seen evidence of this in terms of its insidious effectiveness just since the 1950s and 1960s. We'll keep an eye on that in the days ahead. Talking about what Ted Pike has been speaking of this morning about Oregon's homosexual rights bill, SB2, and the fact that the House vote on that bill has been delayed until Tuesday, April 17th. This dovetails rather grimly and yet rather nicely with what Elaine Donnelly has said for the Center for Military Readiness in the Washington Times on March 18th. Howard Phillips mentions this in his Issues and Strategy Bulletin, which he sends to me from Washington, D.C., that is dated March 31st. Howard has a title at the top of this piece entitled, "It's Illegal for Any and All Homosexuals to Serve in the U.S. Military." He's quoting Elaine Donnelly here, who says that Marine General Peter Pace, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, should not apologize for supporting the law excluding homosexuals from the military. That law, Section 654, Title 10, that's Section 654, Title 10, was passed with veto-proof bipartisan majorities in both houses of Congress in 1993. Federal courts have declared it constitutional several times. Nor should General Pace be intimidated by name-calling homosexual activists who are berating the general for expressing his personal opinions on immorality. A relentless public relations campaign is promoting their cause, and a controversial bill sponsored by Representative Marty Mahan, a Massachusetts Democrat, which would repeal the 1993 homosexual conduct law. The statute reflects the views of people who see the issue in moral terms, but it uses secular language emphasizing military discipline. Duly enacted laws, including prohibitions against lying, stealing, and murder, should not be repealed just because they coincide with religious principles and moral codes such as the Ten Commandments. The personal views of General Pace are not unusual, but two contradictions in his March 12th statement deserve a closer look. General Pace said that, quote, "don't ask, don't tell," unquote, allows homosexual individuals to serve, but that frequently stated misinterpretation lacks support in the law Congress actually approved. General Pace also equated homosexuality with adultery, a moral offense prohibited under Article 134 of the Uniform Code of Military Justice. Using the general's comment as a teaching moment, consider what would happen if President Clinton had imposed on the military a don't ask, don't tell policy on adultery. Such a policy could condone adulterous relationships in the military, as long as the people involved do not say that they are adulterers. That would encourage illicit behavior in the same way the don't ask, don't tell policy imposed by the Clinton administration condones dishonesty about homosexual conduct. This is why Congress rejected the don't ask, don't tell concept in 1993. Instead, members decided to codify pre-Clinton Defense Department regulations stating, quote, "homosexuality is incompatible with military service," unquote. 3 months after signing the law, apparently with fingers crossed behind his back, Bill Clinton undermined the statute by announcing contradictory enforcement regulations, the policy known as Don't Ask, Don't Tell. These regulations state that sexual orientation a vague phrase appearing nowhere in the law, is personal and private, and, quote, not a bar to military service, unquote. Failure to resolve the disparity between policy and law works to the advantage of homosexual activists because the statute is slandered every time it is mislabeled with the catchphrase, don't ask, don't tell. Chronic confusion helps their high-powered public relations campaign, which frequently cites questionable studies and public opinion surveys skewed to promote open homosexuality in the military. The Pentagon's Office of Personnel and Readiness responded to the GAO report by putting discharge numbers into perspective. During the 9 years in question, there were 26,446 discharged for pregnancy, 36,513 for violation of weight standards, 38,178 for serious offenses, 20,527 for parenthood, and 59,098 for drug offenses. In contrast, 9,501 persons were discharged when they acknowledged homosexual conduct. About 5% of unplanned separations, or 0.37% of discharges for all reasons. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff's America.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. John Rankowski of the USS Liberty will join us after the first commercial break, after the 8 o'clock hour, Central Time. We have a caller, Daniel in British Columbia. Go ahead, Daniel.
Yes, good morning, Mark.
Hi, how are you?
Yes, fine, fine. How's the weather in the Lone Star State?
Well, it seems not too bad today. I'm looking out the studio window here, and it's a little overcast and a little cool, but basically it's okay.
You know, I live in your former part of the world. I'm from British Columbia.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
And of course, I used to hail from Seattle, of course, and once in a while would make it up to Vancouver.
Yeah, well, hopefully you'll make it back. Okay, I wanted to run a few things by you, if I might, Mark. Okay, now the first thing is, of course, there's one thing I can offer your listeners is a somewhat different perspective, since I'm not an American. Now, one thing that seems blatantly clear to me is this sort of cant and hypocrisy regarding the interference of Iran in Iraq. Like, how dare they, when America created, financed, and armed the resistance to the Russians in Afghanistan and killed thousands and thousands of Russians? Did Russia say, well, we're going to invade the United States because they're killing our troops in Afghanistan? So anyway, that, just to point out that, you
yes.
know, do you see? Do you understand?
Absolutely. And it's like, well, when we're doing it, it's okay. When they're doing it, it's bad. That seems to be the implication.
Precisely. And it's called hypocrisy. But enough of that. Now, you know, the thing is, I would love to have I think what might be an interesting philosophical discussion with you, perhaps not now, but I'll just give you the context, and that is on something that I find that really grates, and that's when I hear Americans talking about the fact that their rights did not come from man, but came directly from their God. Now, that opens up a very, very big discussion about how such a thing could be, but maybe we could discuss that later. Now, the thing is, I just wanted to mention a possible guest that I think might be fascinating for you to talk to, and to give you a little bit of, your listeners, a bit of the other side. This guy is a cognitive scientist and a linguist and a self-confessed small L liberal. Now, he wrote a book called Whose Freedom? And can I just read you the last few sentences of his book?
Sure. We're getting pretty close to a commercial break, so if you run out of time, I'll bring you on right after 8 o'clock, Daniel, so go ahead.
Okay, here it goes. We were not raised, Americans, to think in terms of frames and metaphorical ideas, and we were not raised to think. Oh,
there's the music. I'll bring you on, Daniel, when we come back from the commercial break. And then after that, we'll have John Pankowski on. This is Mark Gankos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on RBN. We'll continue with Daniel from British Columbia. And then after that, we'll have John on. Stay tuned.